listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are once again getting into this wonderful study, Living Life Connected to Christ. And this second session is titled A Life of Loyalty. You know, many times we set goals, and those goals are important. But when we live lives that are connected to Christ, we discover an even greater goal, one that supersedes and alters all the other goals that we may have. And this goal should be, for every believer, a desire for God to be glorified. In order for God to be glorified in our lives, we have to be loyal to Christ. Our loyalty connects us to Jesus Christ. So the scripture, we're still in the passage where Jesus is teaching his disciples before he is crucified. And this is in John 13, verses 21 through 27, and then verses 31 through 35.
All right. So our point for today is connection to Christ calls for consistent loyalty, And our first section says, look for betrayal in your own life. Wow. Let's get into this. And so I'm going to start reading at verse number 21. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who it was he was talking about. So he leaned back against Jesus and asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus replied, "He's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it." When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "What you're doing, do quickly." All right, so here, what a beautiful scene with Jesus at the Last Supper. But in this beautiful scene, there is trouble brewing. So look for betrayal in your own life. And so Jesus, remember, he's there at the Last Supper. He mentions the fact that somebody is going to betray him. And in this text, it says that Simon Peter, whispered to John. John whispered to Jesus to find out who it was. And then Jesus told them. But, you know, if you read this, and I'll encourage you all to read this scene of the Last Supper in the parallel text in the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John, and see this action from a number of different lens vantage points. And one of the things you will notice is that the other disciples started asking a question, "Lord, is it I?" So we don't see this here in John's rendering, but we'll see it in the others. And so why is that? Because the other ones were saying, "Lord, you know more about me than I know about myself." You know, and so is it me? Is it, am I the one? Because you know me. So that really just encompasses this idea of looking for betrayal in my life. So it's not that we ought to always be looking to see who else is going wrong, but could it be one of us? And indeed, even in this text, Simon Peter and John are totally unsure of who it is that is going to betray Jesus, who Jesus was talking about. And so they're asking, you know, Simon motioned to him. John leaned back on Jesus. Lord, who is it? So they're open, right? They didn't come with an accusatory tone. Look, I know it's one of them, you know, other guys over there, right? I know it must be Thomas, the doubter, or it must be Andrew, who is just a bringer, right? They could have whispered about all of those disciples, you know, but they didn't know. They didn't know why, because truly betrayal can be in any one of us if we're not watching our own lives and watching our own hearts. And so, you know, don't look at the others. Like, be like the old song that says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Look for betrayal in your own life. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yeah, Mark, I agree with you on that. And I think it's really, really important for us to look and evaluate our own lives. But one of the things that I noticed too was that they were probably, like you said, looking around at each other. And it was not obvious to them that Judas was the one. That didn't jump out at them at all. You know, after all, the disciples trusted Judas to keep the money. So when you have someone holding your money, holding your purse, then you have a certain amount of trust in that individual. And so they that could be one reason they didn't see him as the obvious betrayer. Jesus knew Judas, and he loved Judas just like he loved the other disciples. He even gave Judas a chance to repent when he asked him to dip the bread in the he asked him to dip the bread, and he said that to Judas. He said, so the giving of the dipped bread designated a special honor at that time. It was something like a toast at a banquet. And it indicated that Jesus was trying to pull Judas back to him in some kind of way.
So let's move on to the next one. It says, live for God's glory. Live for God's glory. And so let's read this next section, verses 31 through 33. When he had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. And so here it is. We get to see this idea in point number two, live for God's glory. So what happened at the end of that first section? He says that Satan entered Judas's heart. And Jesus said, whatever you're going to do, do that quickly. And if you got to read scriptures in between, you'll see that he did leave. Judas did leave and set things up to betray Jesus. So this is a reminder now as we get to verse number 31. So after we get to 31, after he went out, it says, after Judas had gone out, Jesus is saying, He knows that everything is in motion now, right? Everything is now in motion for God's eternal plan to be carried out. And so if we're going to have a life of loyalty to God, we must live for God's glory. And so even though this betrayal is going on behind the scenes, Jesus is exemplifying loyalty to God, right? Even though a very terrible thing is about to unfold, he is being loyal to God like we ought to be loyal to God. And so we get to see all of this unfold. He talks about how this is now obviously, he says, that God is going to be glorified in this moment. And we can't always see in the darkest, most trying moments how God is going to be glorified. But he is now seeing as the scene is unfolding that God is going to be glorified even in these terrible moments. And we've got to learn to be loyal to God in our most trying times, because God uses our most trying times to bring glory to himself. What are you thinking, Christina?
Exactly. We need to learn to live for God's glory. You know, many times, Mark, we are so pessimistic. We look at the downside of life. The glass is always half empty. We see so many, we can see something positive and then say something negative about it. And that's not bringing glory to God. You know, God wants us to recognize that he is in everything, even the dark places of our life. And the psalmist recognized this. There's a couple of verses in Psalms 89 where it says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness." So what the writer is saying here is that we can bring glory to God when we acclaim him, when we give him credit, when we recognize him in our life rather than those negative things that we see. You know, let's honor God by saying, "God, you're good," rather than saying, "Oh, my feet hurt." So we can be positive and rather than negative, and that positivity has to be about giving glory to God.
So just think about this. So Jesus knows he is about to be betrayed. And yet at this time he says, look, God is about to be glorified. So what did you do the last time you felt betrayed? How did you receive it? How did you respond? And could God receive glory from your life by the way you handled your last season of betrayal? There's a word for us to think about, huh? So what do we have to do ultimately? Love others. Let me read verses 34 and 35. "I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Wow. So this is a great verse, a great set of verses. And in fact, just reading the verse reminds me of my time in Vacation Bible School as a kid, because this was one of those memory verses from when I was a young child. "By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another." And so Jesus did not fill his heart with hate, even though the scripture says the devil had entered Judas and Judas left to betray him. So here, this is a word for somebody in your Sunday school class, that even though Satan had entered Judas's life, Jesus still exemplified the love of God for others through his life. You don't have to give back evil for evil, tit for tat, wrong for wrong. If you're going to be loyal to God, and that's what a life of loyalty is. A life of loyalty says that times aren't always going to be right. That all of us are susceptible to disloyalty. That times aren't always going to be right and others may betray us. But we must consistently show love. And it says that is the way that the world will truly know we are his disciples. So think about all the things that are going on in our country, in our society today, right? Where people are just snapping at each other all the time, right? Disruptive on the airplanes. And we see drive-by shootings because of road rage, huh? And then Christians online on Twitter and other things, you know, just hacking at each other. Hold on, where is this loyalty to God in all of this, right? By this, this is what the world is looking for. This is what the world needs to see, that we don't respond like other people, we don't live like other people, and that. And they won't know that we're disciples because of the church we go to. They won't know we're disciples because of the translation of the Bible we read. They won't know we're disciples because of the clothes that we wear or all the rules that we follow. But they will know by one thing. It says they will know because we love one another. That is the badge of true loyalty to God in that age and in this. What are you thinking, Christina?
And I am agreeing with that, Mark, that Jesus said this very clearly. This is an identifying mark of his disciples. And you know, and what Jesus said, even though the word new is used here, the Greek word that's used here for new is freshness. It's the opposite of outworn, and it's different. So what we need to take away with this too is that Jesus didn't reinvent the command. It was already there, but he wanted us to extend it even further. And Jesus displayed this when he died on the cross. Love was newly defined from his example. And so that's a lot of love that we need to show each other, that we need to show one another as disciples. And then when the world see us loving one another, as Mark has just said, then they will know that we are true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Right, because anybody can, you know, hate. Anybody can, you know, snap back. Anybody can call you out of your name. But when the rubber meets the road and a difficult time comes, only the children of God, huh? A sign of a child of God is that we love one another. This lesson ought to be taught to every Christian everywhere, because we certainly need this in these days that we live in. So thank you all for joining us on today. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina is going to give us a really powerful 1-minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind everybody, get your copy of the U Bible Study at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban Ethnic Forward Bible Study Resource. It comes in paper and digital formats, has the teacher guide in the back of the book. So it's really easy to use. Daily devotional passages are included because one of the things we know that grows deeper disciples is daily Bible engagement, and has a great leaders pack. It comes in digital and paper formats, and so it's a great tool for everybody, and it aligns with our BSFL student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. So make sure you get yours. All right, Christina, give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, the teaching tip for today is one I've used before, but this will be a little different. I'm suggesting that we incorporate music in this lesson because there's a great opportunity for it. Here's the question that you can ask your learners. First of all, ask them who among the group loves to sing, or you can identify a singer in your group. And as a way of reinforcing the principles taught in this session, ask that person to be prepared to sing a chorus of the hymn, Glory to His Name. And that is taught in the second session, Live for the Glory of God. So when you get to that session, just call on that person to sing a chorus of Glory to His Name. And you can have them to sing a solo or invite the rest of the group to join in. And there may be other opportunities throughout the session where you can invite that person to sing. You're talking about a powerful lesson. Songs always have a tendency to draw us closer in the spirit to our God.
All right, so thank God for this lesson, and thank God for each and every one of you who will teach it. Join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.